Well, I know that our guest preacher last week gave you a little bit of perspective looking forward into the new year. I haven't heard that message yet, but talked with someone about it. So I know he gave you a little bit of perspective headed into the new year. But before we get back to our series in Hebrews, as your pastor, I want to direct our hearts towards some truths that I pray will be helpful to us as a church in the coming year, and even beyond that, in years to come as well. It's my hope that God will use His truth to strengthen our faith and our resolve to faithfully follow Christ, to help grow and mature together as a church. And so at the brink of a new year, what should we be aiming for as a church? Now, there are all sorts of good and right ways that we could answer that question. I want to focus today and over the next few weeks our attention on the basics, the things that the Church of Christ should be devoted to, and what that devotion looks like. As we'll see, Lord willing, the early church was devoted to certain things, and we are to be as well. Well, what exactly was the early church devoted to? I want us to think about devotion to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. And some of you already know where those four items come from, where you can find that list in your Bibles. It's in Acts 2:42. You can go ahead and turn there with me to Acts chapter 2. At Grace Baptist Church, we focused a lot on reaching out to those around us. We talk about it. We've made efforts to that end. We've recently had a sermon series on evangelism focused on reaching out to those around us. But we also seek to focus on faithfully feeding the flock that God has gathered together here, shepherding the sheep and worshiping together. Because if we neglect the four things that we just mentioned, the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and the prayer, if we fail to keep our church rooted in what is important, then we won't have a place that's worth welcoming the lost to. We won't have a place where people can come and find hope and help for their greatest trouble. And so these messages are a bit more inward focused than outward, and that's okay. We want to be balanced in our efforts to reach the lost and to shepherd the flock that God has gathered here. We need to make sure that we keep our church, by God's grace, on the right track, fixed on the foundation of Christ, and thus be able to have a healthy outreach to those around us. The two go hand in hand, a healthy flock and reaching out to the world around us. And so at the start of a new year, we want to give our attention to a brief series on the basics of what we should be devoted to as the people of God, as the Church of Christ, and what it means to be devoted to those things. We're in Acts 2 here. After Peter preaches on the day of Pentecost, there's a response to his preaching. And so I want to pick up the reading at verse 36, actually, and read through the end of the chapter. 36 is the conclusion of Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. You just read the conclusion, and you know that must have been some sermon that he preached. Go back and read the whole thing sometime if you haven't read it before, or maybe not recently, but and I should do that as well. But notice verse 36 to the end of the chapter. 36, the end of his sermon, and then what happens after that. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. So ends Peter's message. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves, here's our verse, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. For this morning, I simply want to give us a brief overview of this verse and where we're headed, and then zoom in and talk about the word devoted, what it means to devote ourselves to something. So just a little bit of the overview and some of the context or where this verse falls in Acts 2 here. Jesus has finished his earthly ministry. He's died. He's risen. He's ascended to the right hand of God the Father. And his followers had been gathered together in Jerusalem waiting for the promised Holy Spirit, as Jesus had said. They prayed together as a group of followers. They had chosen an apostle to replace Judas. And then on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out in a very visible way. And Peter preached, showing that Jesus is the Christ, and the people had crucified the very one sent to save them. And that's the conclusion of the sermon that we just read. He shows them, this Jesus is the one that the whole Old Testament was pointing towards. He is the Christ, the one that we have been waiting for, and you crucified him. And so many were convicted that day. They received Peter's word. They repented, believed. They were baptized. They received forgiveness of sins and the Holy Spirit. And then something very interesting in verse 41. And there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And in verse 47, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. I believe they were added to the church. This is the beginnings of the church. Later in Acts 5, it says, and more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, or believers in the Lord were added. Believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. And what we're seeing in Acts is the beginning of the church, people being added to Christ. And Acts tells the unfolding of this story of the beginning and spread of the church in her earliest days. Now, that is not our focus for this series. That would be a series on the book of Acts, which would be a really long interruption to the book of Hebrews. We're not going to do that. But that's what Acts is telling us. It's about the founding and the spread of the early church. And what we're seeing here in Acts 2 is believers being added to that body of believers, to the body of Christ, added to the church. Our focus is what that early church, these early Christians who were being added, what they devoted themselves to, what things were important in the life of the early church. And Luke tells us four things to which they devoted themselves in Acts 2 and verse 42. What were they? Well, the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and the prayers. Now, my plan is to take one message to talk about each of those things, while today I want to talk about devotion, what it looks like to be devoted to something. And then a message on the doctrine of the apostles, or the teaching of the apostles, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and the prayers. One message for each of those. That's the plan anyway. We'll see how the plan plays out. And while today I want to focus on devotion, let's say a brief word about each of these four things so you have some idea of where we're headed. Because they were devoted to something, not just generally. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching. That's fairly self-evident. The Lord Jesus Christ chose apostles. He entrusted them with his truth to be proclaimed to others. The apostles were to go and to preach the truth of Christ. And that's what we see them doing in Acts. That's what Peter was doing on the day of Pentecost. The apostle Peter was preaching Christ's truth. That's some of the doctrine of the apostles to which they were devoted. These new disciples of Christ wanted Christ's truth, and they learned it from the apostles. And as we think of the apostles' teaching today, while we don't have Peter and James and John, the apostle Paul, we don't have apostles anymore today, we do have the teaching of the apostles. It's right here. It's in the pages of Scripture. And so we still have the teaching of the apostles. Devotion to the teaching of the apostles is devotion to the Word of God, to the faithful preaching of that word. They were devoted also to the fellowship. That word seems to encompass much more than just chatting before and after the service. I loved seeing you all fellowship this morning before the service. I anticipate that you will do that after the service as well, as you often do. But fellowship is more than that. It's not just that. It's more than that. This is partnership together in the cause of the gospel, the cause of Christ. It's sharing together. It can be financial. It is bearing one another's burdens. It's multifaceted, and it shows that the church is not just to be a loose connection of people, a loose collection of people with very, very little draw and connection to one another. Rather, it's to be a family closely knit together in Christ. Christ is the foundation. We have that in common, and so we fellowship together. We are partakers together. We share together one another's joys, one another's burdens. We participate together in reaching out for the cause of Christ and worshiping together. And so they were devoted to fellowship. They were devoted to the breaking of bread. Now, this could be a reference to the Lord's Supper, to sharing a meal together, maybe to both. I tend to believe that it at least includes the Lord's Supper. And I hope to show you that, show you why I think that in a few weeks. Likely, really, by inference, we could conclude both of the sacraments of the ordinances. Baptism is the way in which they were added to the church. That's being practiced in this passage. It's clear the early church was devoted to baptism because they did it, although it's not listed in this list. And so devoted to the Lord's Supper, perhaps sharing a meal together, and at least by inference and by their example, by devoted to baptism as well. And then to the prayers. This collection of people was together devoted to the prayers. As I hope we'll see, I believe this is more than individuals praying separately or couples or families praying together, though we should certainly do that. This is the church, I believe, corporately praying together, which we see them doing in Acts. They pray together as the church. And so these things are crucial to the life of the church. The early church devoted themselves to these things for good reason. And Lord willing, we'll unfold them further as we go. But with that as a backdrop and a little bit of a look ahead, what does devotion to these things look like? What does it mean to be devoted to something or to someone? And I suspect you have some notion of this already. You know what it is, or you've seen a lovingly devoted wife or husband, a parent devoted to the faithful raising of their children. Any business owner or manager can tell you the worth of a devoted employee or the difficulty and pain of an employee who is not really devoted to their work. And let's dig in a little bit to see what this word means, how it's used in Scripture, and some illustrations of it, how it applies in this context as we think about the life of our church, the church in general, but the life of Grace Baptist Church in particular. What ought we be devoted to, and what should that devotion look like? So let's just define the word a little bit. And I was moved to look into this by a sermon by Pastor George McDearman last Sunday on corporate prayer in the church. My family was on vacation. We went to church in Owensboro, Kentucky with my parents in the morning, and then in Louisville, Kentucky in the evening with Aaron's sister and her family. And Pastor McDearman, who pastors in New York, was in Louisville as well. And they asked him to preach last Sunday night. And I'm glad that they did. I'm glad that I was there. It was challenging. It was good. It was stirring. In some ways, it was some of the impetus, not all of it, but some of the impetus for this brief series of messages. And just a little side note, but in a way, it's not entirely a side note, because it has to do in some ways with devotion to the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread, the fellowship, then the breaking of bread, and the prayers. When you're on vacation, a real benefit of being on vacation is getting to be exposed to other churches. Whether it's a church that you have a tie to, which was the case for both of the ones that we visited last Sunday, We know both of those churches. We know people there. We're glad to go there. But also to churches where you have no previous connection. When we go on vacation, the Lord's Day doesn't take a vacation. And so take advantage of the opportunity to worship with another body of believers. Take advantage of the opportunity to hear somebody else preach. Somebody besides me. Get exposed to something broader than that. And you don't know the blessing you might miss. I was blessed last Sunday night by a message on the corporate prayer life of the church. And so we looked at that subject, and I'll likely refer to his message again when we get to the prayer, the fourth thing to which they were devoted. And it'll probably come back to some of the things that he said. But one of the texts that he referred to was this one, Acts 2:42. And he talked about the word devoted, and he talked about it as a compound word and explained it. And so I looked it up too, and literally the word means to be strong or steadfast or to continue without wavering. And then to do that towards something, right? We don't do a lot of Greek here, and I'm not even going to tell you what the word is, but there's a compound where the main part of the word means that: be strong, steadfast, continue without wavering. And then it has a preposition attached to the front, and it's the word towards, too. You're to be steadfast towards, in the direction of something in particular. And so these early Christians were steadfast towards the apostles' teaching. Their strength was directed toward and expended in fellowship and prayer. They continued without wavering in the breaking of bread, or more simply, they devoted themselves to these things. They were steadfast towards them. Some of the ways this word's used in the New Testament might help us appreciate it a little bit more. And you'll have to turn there, but in Acts 6, the apostles ordained deacons in the church so the apostles could be devoted to prayer and to the ministry of the word. They devoted, that's our word, it's in Acts 6:4. They were devoted, they wanted to be able to devote themselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. I think that's interesting. They were devoted to ministering the word, and the church was devoted to hearing that word. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching, and the apostles were devoted to doing that teaching. And they directed their steadfastness towards that teaching. The apostles directed it towards prayer and the ministry of the word. Turn over to Acts chapter 10 for a moment. We'll see one of the uses of this word. This is a story of Cornelius, the gospel going to the Gentiles. And let's just read the first eight verses together here. I'll read them and you follow along. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort. A devout man who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people, and prayed continually to God. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come in and say to him, "Cornelius!" And he stared at him in terror and said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said to him, "Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea." When the angel who spoke to him had departed, he called two of his servants and a devout soldier from among those who attended him. Those who attended him are our word. Those who were devoted to him, those who were in constant attendance on him. And having related everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. So Cornelius has a message from God, and God says, send someone to get Peter. And who does Cornelius send? He chooses from among those who were devoted to them. He's got a message from God. He needs someone trustworthy, someone faithful, someone that is devoted, and that's who he selects from, his attendants. That word, it seems like here, is used in a technical sort of way, but there's a reason you call these people devoted ones. They've earned that privilege. They've earned that level of trust. They were devoted to Cornelius. You can turn back to Acts chapter 2, where we began. I think it's really interesting. In our text and on four other occasions, the object of the word be devoted to is prayer. Here the early church was devoted to the prayers. We saw already that that the apostles were devoted in Acts 6:4 to prayer and the ministry of the word. That's the use. There's 10 times this word occurs in the New Testament. Five of the uses, it's talking about being devoted to prayer. Isn't that interesting? So Acts 1 in verse 14, before Pentecost, when the believers are all gathered together, we read this: all these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. Before the day of Pentecost, they're gathered together and they're devoting themselves. They're directing their steadfastness toward prayer. We just mentioned Acts 6:4, the apostles devoted to prayer and the ministry of the word. Romans 12:12, Paul writes to the Romans, "Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant," that's our word, "be constant in prayer." And you see the different ways it's translated, get to the nuances of this word, of devotion. Be constant in it. It's not sporadic, it's regular. Be constant, steadfast, devoted to prayer. Colossians 4:2, continue steadfastly, that's our word, translated differently, but same word, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. And then, this is same root word, but the noun form of it, another occurrence in Ephesians 6, in the context of prayer, praying at all time in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, that's our word, with all, maybe we could say devotion, making supplication for all the saints. You see, a lot of times this word is used in the New Testament. It's with reference to prayer. Now, so you get a little bit of the idea of what the word means. It means to direct your energy, your steadfastness, your strength toward a particular object, towards prayer, towards the apostles' teaching, towards the breaking of bread, towards the fellowship. Now, there's various relationships where this sort of devotion is needed and appreciated. What would you think of a husband who is devoted to his wife 10% of the time? Well, you would say he's not devoted at all, and you would be right. Pastor John, we refer to this text in our membership class when we talk about responsibilities of church members, and Pastor John from the church in Bremen would use this illustration in membership class, and if you've taken the membership class with me, you've probably heard it as well. You'd say, if someone says, "I'm going to be devoted to running, I'm going to jog, I'm going to exercise," and they go and they jog once. And then a month or two later, they go, "You know, I need to be jogging," and they go out and they run again. Then a month later, they do it again. Are they devoted to jogging, devoted to running? Well, no. They don't do it very often at all. They're not consistent. They're not devoting steadfastness towards it. Maybe you've made some New Year's resolutions related to fitness. That's a common thing. Maybe you haven't. That's okay. But maybe you have. Maybe you say, "I'm going to get fit this year. I'm going to exercise." What does your devotion to that commitment look like after 8 days? How's it going? Have you been devoted to it? Have you been consistent, persistent in it? Or you had a good day or two, and then, man, that bed is really warm on a cold morning, isn't it? Like, I'm devoted to my bed. I get in it every night, and I give good 7 hours to it, less sometimes, occasionally more. I'm devoted to it, but man, exercise, that's harder. Devotion isn't always easy. In fact, it's usually not. Devotion to my bed is fairly simple, but devotion to other things are much more difficult. Think of Cornelius, and how he had servants devoted to him, how he could entrust the most important messages to them. And think then about an untrustworthy employee. Doesn't get to work on time. When there, he's not consistent, diligent in his work. He misses days without giving notice. He's not devoted, and that damages the business for which he works. Doesn't inspire the heart of his boss to trust him. Maybe you know something of what it is to be a devoted employee. God give you grace to persevere in that. Think about what devastating consequences there might have been if Jonathan, think of the friendship between Jonathan and David, if Jonathan had not been truly devoted to his friend David. Maybe David would have been killed so that Jonathan could have the throne. But Jonathan was a devoted, a faithful friend. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times. That sounds like devotion to me. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. That sounds like devotion. We stick with it even when it's hard. Even when there are things trying to divert our devotion in another direction. It's the sort of devotion we need in a friend. It helps us appreciate the reality that Jesus is a friend of sinners, unfailingly devoted to us. He'll never leave us, never forsake us. And you start, I hope, to get an idea of what devotion looks like. Jesus was devoted to completing the work of redemption that was given him by the Father, and he did complete it. And he's devoted to us and bringing us safely home to heaven, and he will, praise God, that Jesus is more devoted to us than we are to him. Now bring those thoughts about being devoted to our verse about being devoted to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and the prayers. And what do you think that devotion will look like? Well, it's devotion, something else Pastor John used to draw out in our membership class, and I tried to as well. It's devotion to all of these things. It's not picking and choosing. Well, I like preaching, but prayer isn't really my thing. It's not that important to me. So I'll be devoted to preaching, but not to prayer. No, that's not the option. Or maybe you say, I like to pray, but I really don't like these people. And so I'll be devoted to prayer, but fellowship is not high on my list. The early church devoted themselves to all of these things, and so must we. Since these are things that we do together on this day in particular, the Lord's Day, preaching, fellowship, sacraments, prayer, devotion to them will look like keeping this day set apart for these purposes. It will look like keeping the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Devotion isn't sporadic, here one Sunday and not the next. And I'm not talking about being gone on vacation, not being here in this place. I know people get sick. I understand those things. But at the slightest inconvenience, or something better coming along, and we deviate, it's not devotion. Now make no mistake, we could be here every Sunday, every service, and still not be devoted to these things. Showing up doesn't mean necessarily that you're devoted. Devotion is not less than that, but it's certainly more than that. We could be here for all the wrong reasons. We could be here for a little social time. Maybe to soothe our conscience by doing the religion thing. I know I should go. I'm going to go do that. And then I'm going to get on with what's really important. We could be here maybe to look good to other people. Or so that we can look down our nose at other people. And then it's a pride thing. And that's not devotion to the apostles' teaching. Maybe it's habit. That's just what we always do. We get up and go to church on Sunday. That's not devotion. And so when you're here, when I'm here, are we engaged? Do you really seek to soak up the apostles' teaching as it's preached here and seek to learn from it and apply it to your life through the week? Are you truly devoted to this word and what it says and how it directs your life? Do you engage with your brothers and sisters and bear their burdens and find out how you can pray for them and find out how they've been? Do you truly fellowship? Do you seek to apprehend Christ by faith in the sacraments and appreciate the benefits that are ours through Christ as we think about His, like we get to do tonight, like His body. It was given for us, sacrificed for us, the shedding of His blood for us. Do you come and soak up and meditate on the reality of the benefits that are ours because we are in Christ? The fact that Christ Himself is ours. Do you pour out your heart in prayer with God's people? Whether you're the one leading in prayer or joining your heart with the one leading in prayer. Say that. I know I say that all the time in prayer meetings. One voice leads, but all our hearts are joined together. There's a reason we do this together. The hearts of God's people joined together in coming before His throne. So again, devotion isn't about just about showing up. It is at least in part about showing up. It's hard to fellowship with people that you're not with. It's hard to pray with God's people when you're not with them. It's hard to partake of the Lord's Supper if you're not there. It's hard to profit from the apostles' teaching without a regular diet of it preached. Now, I know you can read it on your own, and you should. And I'm going to talk about that in about 2 seconds. But hang on till we get to the message about the apostles' teaching. That one's next week, Lord willing. And I think we'll see something of the significance of the preaching of the word. So with these things that we're talking about being devoted to, we're talking about corporate expressions, body, the body of Christ doing these things together. But doing your own reading of God's word regularly is crucial. It's crucial that you be devoted to the word of God as an individual. The new year is a good time to make a plan to do so for the year ahead. So in one of our weekly emails back in December, I included a few links that could help you plan how to read God's Word regularly in 2017. God's Word calls us to go into our closet to pray. That's private. That's not corporate. That's not together with God's people. And I hope you do that with great devotion, regularity, consistency. Fellowship and the Lord's Supper are corporate by nature. But you can fellowship around the table at your house, and I hope that you do. Not just when the doors of the church are open. Now, the sacraments of the church, I believe, are to be observed by the gathered church, not privately. But on the whole, as we focus on body of Christ, corporate expressions of these things that we're to be devoted to, don't neglect them individually and privately as well. Are your steadfastness and your effort directed towards God's word, towards his people, towards his sacraments, and towards him in prayer? We are to be devoted to these things. Our steadfastness moving in this direction as the early church did. I want to just make a note about what this devotion is rooted in. I want to say a word about union with Christ. Maybe you're inclined to say, this is all well and good. I see we're to be devoted to these things, but I'm devoted to Christ. I'm devoted to a person. Good. You should be. In fact, we are in union with Christ. We are part of his body. He is our head. The language of the New Testament repeatedly uses the language of in Christ or in him to describe our relationship to him. So those who trust Christ are inseparably joined to Jesus. They are in union with him. You think of words like, no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. In him, we have redemption through his blood. And if you're not in Christ, if you haven't trusted him, you aren't joined to him, you don't have that redemption, you can today, right where you sit, you can cry out to God and ask for mercy and ask that he would give you Christ and all of the benefits that flow from him. And he will. You could be saved today. You could enjoy these benefits today. But if you are in Christ, joined to him, the body with Christ as the head, then we will love what he loves. If we are part of Christ, we'll love the things that Jesus loves. And you know what Jesus loves? Jesus loves his church. He's the head of the church. And he loves that church. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. He put all things under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And then Ephesians 5, 25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So don't forget what we said earlier. Acts is describing the foundation and spread of the early church. These converts to Christ were being added to the church. And they were devoted to these things. Verse 38 of our Acts 2 here. Peter said to them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 41, so those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they, the ones who were added, the ones who were baptized, the ones who believed in Christ, the ones who are in union with Christ, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread in the prayers. These people were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. They were added, and immediately they devoted themselves to following Christ. They were part of his church. They were in union with Christ, members of his body, and that's what his body, the church, does. They devote themselves to the apostles' teaching, which is Christ's teaching. It's his truth. They devote themselves to fellowship with the rest of Christ's people, to the breaking of bread, observing the sacraments that the Lord has given, perhaps sharing a meal together, and also to the prayers. That's what the church is, and that's what the church does. And it's all because we are joined to the head of the church, Christ. So our devotion to these things in the life of the church are expressions of and rooted in our devotion to Christ himself. It's impossible to love Christ and not care about what he cares about. Now, that's not to say that the church where these things go on is perfect. It is not as lovable as Christ is. Of course not. But that doesn't stop Christ from loving his church and calling us to faithful participation in that church. And it doesn't stop Christ from being devoted to his church. If Christ were to look at the church and say, they are imperfect, I'm done with them. We would be done. And so may we as Christians not do that. Oh, the church, this, that. There is no perfect church. This one is not perfect. That doesn't mean we can say, well, I'm just going to ignore the church. Because we're part of Christ. So we're part of his body. Devotion then is intense. It's not for the faint of heart. Devotion is not easily turned aside. It isn't easily hindered. It takes something significant to keep someone from the thing or person to which they are devoted. Devotion is consistent. It's not sporadic. And brothers and sisters, we are devoted to all sorts of things. Some rightly so and some wrongly. We're devoted to our families. It's good. We're devoted to our sports teams. We're devoted, talked about being devoted to our beds. We're devoted to Facebook. We're devoted to our digital devices. This is humbling. I did a log of how much time one day this week, one day and part of another, of how much time I spent on digital devices not working. So not all the time I was on my computer. Like I spent a lot of time typing, studying, whatever on my computer. Not that time, but time not working on digital devices in a day. It's embarrassing. I haven't been as devoted to the work God's given me to do as I ought to be. Anything wrong with digital devices? No. Something wrong when devotion to them supplants devotion to the work that he's given us to do? Yeah. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I've worked and worked using my time better, and I just did a check this week, and I'm not using it very well sometimes. What are we devoted to? What do we give our time to, our attention to? Somebody had done a log of all my time. They could make a case that I was devoted to my phone that day. If anybody were to look at our lives, would they be able to make a case that we're devoted to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers? Would we be able to make that case? Now, I'm sure there is some selfishness in some of what I'm saying. Say, okay, the preacher, the pastor of the church is telling people to be devoted to his preaching and to show up at his church. Yes, I want you to be here. I hope my motives are more than that, though, or better than that. I want great things for your spiritual growth. I want you to grow to be more and more like our Savior Jesus. And this is the path the early church took to that. I want us to grow as a church family together. I want us to be a light shining in this community. I want us to reach out effectively to support and to send missionaries, to love one another and to build one another up. Not so that people will say we are great, but so they will see that our God is great, so that more people will hear about our Savior. I long for us to be more and more conformed to the image of Christ, and these things happen, brothers and sisters, as we devote ourselves to the things that Christ has called us to do. In many ways, I have seen your devotion to Christ and to his church. In other ways, we, me included, have much growing to do, much room to improve. Maybe we've grown lukewarm or complacent. But we live, let me note the significance of this. We live in an age where if we are lukewarm about our Christianity, it could have devastating consequences. If you are wishy-washy in your devotion to Christ and the things that he calls his church to, when the challenge comes to choose between our faith, what we believe, and our livelihood, or between our faith and staying out of prison, or between faith and our lives, which there are people around the globe and even occasionally in our country. I don't know of anyone that's had to choose between their faith and their life yet in our country. Between faith and their livelihood, faith and their employment. When that choice may come, if we have been little devoted, we may lose sight of the significance of what we believe, our faith, and we may be more willing to give it up. A flighty Christianity may not withstand the wind of persecution. We need unwavering, solid, unmoving devotion to Christ. We're talking about the basics here. The Christian life lived out in the church of Christ. Devotion to the Word of God, to fellowship, to breaking bread and prayer with God's people. The basics. It's what we seek to do here each Lord's Day. We don't have the sacraments each Lord's Day, but it's what we seek to do here on the Lord's Day. And if you've been convicted by a lack of devotion to the things to which God calls us, I'm not just here to beat us up or to convict us or to make people feel bad. That sort of conviction should produce a couple of effects at least. One, it should send us running back to Christ. He was perfectly devoted to the things his heavenly Father gave him to do. And he's devoted to us. And he died for all of our sins in these areas, all of our failures in these areas, all of our lack of devotion. And so back to Christ, seek his face, seek his forgiveness, and it will be granted. Your sins are paid for by Christ. They can't be held against you. So take comfort in this Savior to whom we are devoted today. And then determined by the power of Christ's Spirit dwelling in you and by God's grace, not in your own strength. Don't go out of here like you do with a New Year's resolution. I'm going to work out 5 days a week this year. And then your own strength, that doesn't last. So don't go out of here. I'm going to do better. Go out of here. God, give me grace. Your Spirit dwells in me to empower me to be more faithful in these things and strive for them. Do go out of here seeking to deepen your devotion to Christ and the things that he calls his church to do. But do it by God's grace, understanding your dependence on the power of the Spirit. Every follower of Christ will be, must be, will want to be devoted to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. And through Christ, who is devoted to us, we can be. But don't just view it as drudgery, something else to, I've already got this long list. You should see my New Year's resolutions that I need to be working. I got all these things that I need to do, and here's another one. Another thing. This devotion will reap great dividends. What a joy it is to receive God's word and his sacraments, and to fellowship with his people and to pour out our hearts to him. There's great benefit that comes from this. We're not losing by devoting ourselves to these things. We're gaining. Blessing flows to us when we participate in these things. So don't just be convicted, be encouraged. We want spiritual health for you. We want you to thrive and to grow and to be blessed. And we will find blessing in these things. So be encouraged to pursue these things with greater devotion in the days and weeks and months and years ahead, so that we might be brought closer to our Savior and more ready to see him face to face when that time comes for us. Heaven is all about devotion to Jesus. We should be preparing for it now. And so may we, by God's grace, grow in 2017 and beyond, greater and greater devotions to the things he's given us to do, and to be a vibrant, faithful community of believers carrying out our calling in this world. Let's pray together.